Communion. What do we know about communion? It's from who? It's from Jesus. When we do it, the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 11:26 that whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We all grew up in churches. Most of us grew up in churches where there was a table out front, and across the front it said, "This do in remembrance of me." Right? That's talking about communion. Because every time you do it, you remember Jesus' death until he comes back. But do we realize that Jesus did not randomly pull out a cup of wine and break a piece of bread and say, "This is going to represent my blood and this is going to represent my body"? He didn't do that. And that's where we're going to study this history, because if we don't look back, we're not going to really think that these scriptures apply to us. And they absolutely include us. Jesus was celebrating something called what? Passover. Okay? Passover is a celebration. We have celebrations. We have Christmas. We have Thanksgiving. Think about Thanksgiving. Abraham Lincoln, 1863, he said, "This is going to be a federal holiday." But they had been celebrating it just randomly, but he made sure, okay, it's going to be this time of year, on this day, every year. When we celebrate Thanksgiving, what do we celebrate? Pilgrims, right? It's okay, y'all can talk to me. Pilgrims. The whole story of them coming over, religious freedom, what they endured. Many people lost their lives during that, but we celebrate Thanksgiving because that's part of our history, right? Okay. Jesus was celebrating his history of something that happened to his family many, many, many hundreds of years before them. Jews, Israelites, still celebrate Passover to this day. It's called the Seder meal. I did it last year. I cooked it myself. And it's amazing what is in that meal. It's not like this turkey dressing, cornbread, green beans, corn, cranberries. It's not a meal like that. This is a meal that is specific and has different items that represent different parts of the Jewish history. Okay, so for us to, we're going to keep going back. All right, so Jesus is sitting here and he's celebrating this Seder meal. And in that meal, there are actually four cups. It's not just one. Those four cups have to do with four promises that come from two scriptures in Exodus. And the Jews refer to them, the Israelites refer to these as the four I wills of God. And to understand Jesus' words where he says, "I'm the new covenant," this is all not just about your history, but this is about what's about to go down and how it's going to include everybody, us, from here on out. So, what is Passover? We've got to understand what Passover is. Where did Israel, the term, where did Jews, where does all this nation, this favorite chosen nation of God, where does it go back to? What's the history, the roots? That's right, Abraham. So, you still with me? All right, take a deep breath. History Sunday. Abraham and God get along so well, this is my version, that God says, "You believe in me, I'm going to count it as righteousness, and I'm going to bless you so much that you're going to have so many descendants, you won't even be able to count them." Abraham was old. A lot older than anybody in here. And so was Sarah, his wife. And they had zero kids. So the story began. Sarah started to doubt. She says, "Take Hagar, the concubine. Be with her. Maybe you have a child with her. Maybe that's how God's going to fulfill this promise." Big mistake. Abraham gets with Hagar. They have a son called Ishmael. Okay? God gets them back on course. Abraham and Sarah have a child named Isaac. That's the lineage, okay? Then Isaac has two twin boys, Jacob and Esau. So Ishmael and Isaac are at odds because they're both trying to claim Abraham's blessing, right? Now, Jacob and Esau, they get at odds over this birthright. And guess what? To this day, all these wars going on in the Middle East, their history goes all the way back to these two. It's a family fight. And we're witnessing it. And it keeps getting worse and worse and worse. But that's where it goes back to. Okay, so let's focus back now on Jacob and Esau. We've heard this term. We serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob's name, after he wrestled with God, was changed to Israel. Good. All right. Either you know that or you're cheating. But you know it now. So Jacob's name is now Israel. That is where we get the term Israel. If they belong to Israel, then they are an Israelite or a Jew. Okay? That becomes the nation. Because Israel has 12 sons. We've heard of the 12 tribes of Israel. That's it, the 12 sons. To this day, most Jewish people can link their heritage and their lineage back to one of those sons. Well, I'm from Reuben. I'm from Joseph. I'm from Judah. They know. Now, let's get into this whole thing about Passover. Of those 12 sons, remember whenever they got angry at Joseph and they sold him into slavery? He's shipped out to Egypt, and then he's dealing with all this hardship, and he gets the gift that where he can interpret dreams. So he's interpreting this dream that there's going to be 7 years of plenty, and there's going to be 7 years of just starvation, bad stuff going down. And Pharaoh says, who's over Egypt, Pharaoh says, okay, if God gave you the ability to interpret the dream, he's given you the ability to know how to save us. So Joseph becomes the man in Egypt. They're saving up all this, and then the famine hits, and it's not just affecting Egypt, it's affecting the whole world. Well, here comes these other brothers with their dad, and they come, and then God reunites them and brings healing there, and then they begin to live in Egypt, and they multiply in Egypt, so much so that several hundred years go by, another Pharaoh raises up, and that Pharaoh's like, we got hammered down here. These people are going to take over us. So what do they turn them into? Slaves. And it's bad slavery, harsh slavery. So bad that the people begin to cry out to God, you got to deliver us. This isn't right. This has our promises are not being met that you promised us. So who does God send? Moses. We all know the Red Sea story and how parts... But prior to that, God sends 10 plagues on Egypt and this Pharaoh. The last one is where God told Moses, he said, it's real important what I'm going to have my people, the Israelites, do. Because I'm going to send this angel of death. And this angel of death is going to touch down in Egypt on this side. And he's going to begin to sweep across. And he's going to kill every firstborn thing human. We're wiping out. It's just going to be a death. But if you will tell the Israelites to take a lamb and to kill it and take that blood and put it over the doorpost and down the sides, then when that angel sees that, he's going to pass over. Okay? That's exactly what happens. So here's the story of Jesus, the lamb, blood. Okay? You get it? You see how this all correlates? So Jesus is sitting there, and he's celebrating Passover. And he knows what's about to happen, even though the disciples don't. And he is saying, all this meal, it's me. These four cups are now not just for Israelites, but whenever I die and I resurrect from the dead, and my blood that's going to be poured out, and my body that's going to be broken, it's going to apply to everybody around the world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So that's the whole turning point. So whenever we study these four cups that we're going to get into in the next few weeks, we're going to know that these cups apply to us. Now, before we study the four I wills, in Jewish culture, this is all about God's promise, his promise of deliverance. A promise is, what we know as a promise, it's defined as an offer with a guaranteed result. Okay? How many of you have broken a promise? How many of you have had a promise broken to you? We've all experienced that, right? But God doesn't, he's not man. God doesn't break his promises. Three quick things. One is, you and I, we need to know God's promises. How are you going to know them? The Word. That's it. There's a promise for every situation. There's even this little book called God's Promises for every situation in your life. The second thing is this, is you need to understand them. God does not lie. There is a process and there's a responsibility in life that we have to engage in and we have to embrace. And God gave us his word and he gave us his promises, but if we're not in relationship with him, what happens? The promises don't apply to us. If we're out living in sin, can we demand God's promises work for us? No. Because we're out of relationship. And you can't know them if you don't open the book. When we were talking, it's like, I could tell you, I've made you a promise. And they're all listed right there in that book. And if you won't know the promises, all you got to do is open that book. So who's the responsibility on to know the promises? It's our responsibility. It's our responsibility to study, to understand, to be in relationship. And here's the other thing. It takes some faith. You open up a toy for a kid and it says some assembly required. Faith is required. You got to be patient. Don't stress. It's not about your timetable. The last thing that I'm going to mention about the promise is this, is that you have to pursue it. You got to go after it. The enemy will always tell you that it doesn't apply to you. Or you've messed up and you've disqualified yourself. You're not allowed to get in on those promises. Or you're not living right enough. He'll throw up any roadblock to keep you from pursuing the promises. Okay, here we go. The four promises, the four I wills. Exodus 6. Verses 6 and 7 says, therefore, say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God who brings you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. There they are, the four promises, the four I wills. The first one is about salvation. He says, I'm going to bring you out. I will bring you out. Salvation is about repentance. That's when that change of direction happens in our life. And it's where you get your life back. Yeah. The second one is about deliverance, where he says, I will free you. Amen. At salvation, your spirit man inside is made alive. It's birthed. It's just like that little baby girl. That baby is fully alive, but she's not grown up, is she? When you give your heart to the Lord at salvation, you've got some growing to do. Deliverance comes. because God doesn't want you stuck somewhere. But you have to grow. We all have areas where we need deliverance. And I'm not talking about laying hands on you and casting devils out. I'm talking about this flesh that we struggle and fight with. Right? We're human. If you got it figured out and you're perfect, let me know. I'd like to know. The third one, I will redeem you. This is about restoration. Restoration. Pastor was told the story about having a 67 GTO. If you like cars, you know they call them goats. Pastor said that he paid $1,050 for it and drove it for a while, and he told us some funny stories while he's preaching about driving that old hot rod, that old muscle car. And I love the whole process of restoration and doing frame-off restorations. But that car now, he's followed it, and he's tracked it down. And the last time that car sold, you know what it sold for? $68,000. Amazing. For an old goat. Restoration. It puts value back in something. It returns it and restores it to its original intent. And that's what happens. Restoration. And then what happens also, the fourth promise. These are God's promises. Are you understanding this? This isn't something that we just wish for. This isn't a wish list, and I hope I can get restored. I hope. This is His promise to you. And because Jesus is holding that cup, and He's saying, it's being poured out for you. You're able to say, that does apply to me. I have a right to that promise. Yes. The last I will says, I will take you as my own. So many of us go through life and we feel alone, rejection, abandonment. We don't feel like we ever find purpose. But God says, you're mine. Why do we listen to the enemy when God is saying, you're mine. I'm going to take you as my own. And I'll bring fulfillment in your life. No more loneliness. No more aimlessness. Purpose. Fulfillment. I'm going to close with this. John 10:10. Jesus said, the thief came to kill, to steal, to destroy. But I came that you would have life and have it full. Full life. Close your eyes if you will, please. Lord, we have a responsibility to know your promises. We have a responsibility to understand them. And we have a responsibility to pursue your promises. And Lord, over the next 4 to 5 weeks as we pursue you, I pray for those that will experience salvation, that they will come out as you promised, that you will bring them out and they will come to life. Lord, I thank you in advance for those that are about to experience the freedom that you promised, the deliverance. We are no longer slaves to fear, to sin, to anything that hinders us. God, I thank you for the process of restoration. You care enough about us to give us full restoration. Doesn't feel good. And there's times where it doesn't look good, where things are looking more broken than coming together. But Lord, the value that increases exponentially when the process is complete, it is all for your glory. Thank you, Lord, for the promise of fulfillment. Being taken as your own, belonging to you. With your eyes closed, let me just talk to you a minute. You know, this is a message that deals with our minds, and God wants us to think right. He wants us to know what we believe and why we believe what we believe. He doesn't want us to be caught off guard or walk around ignorant. God wants you to have wisdom. He wants you to be smart. He wants you to understand His promises and why He does what He does. And I want to close with this offer. The altars are open. And you may be struggling with this whole thing about salvation. You may be struggling with the second promise about deliverance. And you may have convinced yourself or believed the lie that deliverance does not apply to you, that you are stuck in a lifestyle where you love the Lord, but you can't break the sin cycle. And that's a lie. The third thing I want to offer you during prayer is this. God wants to restore what the enemy has all but destroyed. And you need hope today. You need hope of His promise. People are already coming to the altar without looking around. If that's you, I want you to come out right now. In the name of Jesus, I speak a release to where you won't believe the lies anymore, that you step out. You have a right to drink from that cup.